Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. It's an immaculate Saturday evening here. Vibes are right. Braves are going right now. We'll update you on them in just a little bit. We got the NBA playoffs happening right now. A pair of what should be two good games. Game one between Mavs and Thunder looking good right now. Atlanta United. Coverage is coming up at 6:30. I will chat it up with you until then. Got my guy Eric Slaughter behind the glass. And look, we're ready to have a fun hour and 10 minutes here on the Hometown Take. So I appreciate you tapping in with me. Make sure you download the Odyssey app as well. It's completely free, and it allows you to listen to myself or any of your other favorite hosts here on the station. Not only you can do it in your car, but you can do it wherever you are in the world as well. So make sure you download that free Odyssey app. Like I said, we will get to the Braves here in just a second, give you a full update, but I will tell you right now, they are up 3-0 on them stinking Mets. Right now it is the top of the fifth inning, two outs, and Ozzie Albies is at the plate. But again, we'll give you a full update here in a little bit of time. The Mavericks are up on the Oklahoma City Thunder 74-70. A little over 3 minutes to go in the third quarter in that one. And again, we'll keep you up to date on that game as well in the next hour and now 9 minutes as we get you set for Atlanta United. They're going to take on DC United. Coverage is going to start here at 6:30 with Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. And then they'll get you ready for Mike Conti and Jason Longshore's call here on the flagship station of Atlanta United FC 92.9 The Game. But I want to talk about first the Atlanta Falcons because rookie minicamp underway for all the teams in the NFL, including our Atlanta Falcons. And it brings me to a discussion with rookie minicamp going on right now. I know Michael Penix has looked good and everybody maybe is starting to change and shift their energy about maybe how they feel about the Michael Penix pick after seeing him get out there, throw the ball, throw them tight spirals, put some zip on the ball as well. So maybe people are starting to change their tune. Maybe not. Again, it is just rookie minicamp, and you know, it's not like he's going up against a full defense or anything. Just installed and all that is happening right now. So I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is the strength and the weakness of the Atlanta Falcons right now, post-draft. Now, they did just sign two of the positions I'm about to bring up. They added two veterans to the two positions I'm about to mention. But in your opinion, and maybe this will be the main question for Grill and Dylan. We'll do Grill and Dylan about an hour's time. And maybe this will be the main question. So go ahead and get your answers ready. I'm giving you an hour ahead of time to get your answers ready. But this will be the main question on Grill and Dylan. The strongest and the weakest position groups right now for the Atlanta Falcons. I'll start with the strongest. I think the obvious answer, and you know what? I'm going to actually make it a little bit tougher on you and myself. I'm going to say strongest position besides quarterback, because to be honest.
Oh, you can't be doing no besides stuff.
Why?
Because it's the strongest. It's not besides. That's a definite.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
Strongest position group is blank.
You're right. Well, I'll do this then, E. In my opinion, the strongest position group of the Atlanta Falcons right now is the quarterback position. You have Kirk Cousins, who has – you looking at me crazy. Hold on, let me break it down to you real quick. You have a guy in Kirk Cousins who you know what you're going to get. And, yes, I understand he is what? He's going to be 36 when the season starts, 35 right now, 36 when the season starts, coming off of a torn Achilles, a tough injury to come back from, but it has been done. And you have a rookie quarterback who everybody says, according to the analysts, according to the media heads, the talking pundits, all that, who's ready to go right now. So what was your weakest position, I think you can argue, is not your strongest position. You have a reliable veteran quarterback, and you have a young rookie quarterback who, again, people say is ready day one. To me, that's your strongest position right now. You got two guys who could go right now and be your starter right now, and nobody would really blink an eye. Now, you could also make the argument for, and this is why I said maybe I was going to go besides quarterback, but to E's point, it's a definite. So to me, I'm saying quarterback. You could make an argument maybe for running back, where you have guys in Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson. You could make an argument for, I'm going to be honest, I think you could make an argument for linebacker, Nate Landman, Caden Ellis, and Troy Anderson. Those are three solid linebackers. But, you know, I wouldn't call that the strongest position. You could make an argument, but I don't think that's the strongest. You could also make an argument probably for you can't make an argument for offensive line. I was going to say offensive line, but I don't think you make an argument for offensive line. Yeah, we have a good offensive line as far as the running game goes, but as far as pass blocking, there's more to be desired there. When you look over at the defense, like I said, I think you make an argument for linebacker. Defensive line, I think, honestly, right now, you could make an argument for one of the weakest positions. I don't think it's the weakest, but I think you can make an argument for it, not because there's not talent on there, but there's a lot of unproven talent right now on the defensive line position, because they did just invest in a lot of rookies on the defensive line. Now, you do have some guys who you're going to get in David Onyemata. Grady Jarrett, even though he is coming off of a torn ACL, he should be just fine. I believe in Grady, the way his work ethic is and just what he's shown over the years. He's going to work hard, and he's going to be just fine when he comes back. So you do have some knowns on the defensive line, but you also have some unknowns. Zach Harrison, he flashed at the end of last year, but is he going to make that jump? Arnold Ebiketie started to look like he's going to come around, but is he going to put it all together this year? Taquan Graham is solid, but then you have some completely unknowns. I like Braylon Trice. Everybody loves the pick in Braylon Trice. I think there's a lot of value in that pick, but is he going to translate in the NFL? We can say it looks like he is, but until he does it, it's an unknown. Rook, Aroro, he's an unknown.
Very good. Say it again.
Aroro.
Yeah, very good. That's actually how you do it. Yes.
I appreciate that. You know, I've been training. I've been in the lab cooking up how to pronounce all these names. But as far as Aroro, he's an unknown. And I think you could argue that he was a little bit of a reach. I still believe that the Falcons didn't have to trade up to get him. But the point is, while there are some knowns on the defensive line, there are also some unknowns as well. And again, until I was obviously a producer of the morning shift, and Bo Morgan made a really good point. Shout out to Squidbilly. Until you show us as a Falcons fan base that the pass rush is no longer a weakness and the pass rush is no longer an issue, it's an issue. It's a problem. Until you show me that you fixed it, I can't assume that it's fixed. You know, if you have a running toilet, until the toilet stop running, you still gonna think the toilet gonna run after you flush it. If your faucet is leaky, until you stop seeing the drip drop, you gonna think your faucet's still leaky after you try to turn it all the way off. So until the pass rush is fixed, I can't be convinced that it's fixed. Just drafting guys who, again, have potential, have talent. I'm not taking that away. I'm not saying that the Falcons didn't do a good job drafting. defensive line help, because I think they did. But they still got to go out there and prove it. They still got to go out there and show me, you, Eric. They still got to go out and show all of us. So, but with all that being said, I don't actually think pass rush is the weakest. The weakest has to be the cornerback spot. It has to be. And again, even though there is a lot of unknown talent on the defensive line, there still are some knowns, and you at least still have potential. I don't see that much potential in the Falcons' cornerback room. Clark Phillips has potential, but not as an outside guy. He's a slot dude. I mean, and it's not because he's not good. It's not because I don't think he can have some success on the outside, but at the end of the day, you got him going up against a big wide receiver. He's just at a disadvantage height-wise. And there's nothing he can, there's literally nothing he can do about that. Nothing. Out of all the technique that you can have, your timing can be great, your hand-eye coordination can be great. But at the end of the day, if a dude can just out-jump you and moss you, you just can't do anything about that. So while Clark Phillips, I think, is a very good corner, and I think that was a very good pick last year, size-wise, he's a slot. D. Alford, he's a slot guy. And I get they got Kevin King. And again, we brought up the fact just moments ago after the show started that, yes, they did have now brung in Dane Cruikshank, veteran defensive back. But, I mean, are we certain that we want a Kevin King? Kevin King does have some potential. Potential. I'll give credit where credit is due. He's been injured. Injuries plagued his career thus far. So there is some potential there. He's a former second-round pick, I believe. But again, there's more potential. There's more at least unknown potential on the defensive line right now than there is at the cornerback spot. Because at corner, all we really know we got is AJ. And again, Clark Phillips, he's good. But at the end of the day, I think his career lies in the slot. D. Alford, good, but again, he's a slot guy. We don't have a real outside guy who I think we can truly put all the chips on the table and be like, you know what? I know he's going to get the job done next to A.J. Terrell. We can have belief that Kevin King can be that guy, but I don't know how confident we all feel in Kevin King right now. And again, it's no shade. It's just he's an unknown commodity. And you can't say the potential is there like a potential is there for a Braylon Trice or a Rook Ororo. You can't say that same potential is there. So I think if you're making the argument of what the weakest position is for the Falcons right now, it has to be the cornerback spot, because the depth that you don't have at corner, pretty alarming right now. And you can bring in veterans who, again, have been there and done that. But at the end of the day, no, there's just no names moving you on that Falcons depth chart when you look at defensive back and like, oh, yeah, they're going to get me some interceptions. They're going to be able to hold it down against some of the best wide receivers in the league. Like, I just don't feel that way.
Dylan, you are so great with what you're saying right now, because with what you're saying, is that this is the question I would love to sit down and just ask the Falcons, you know, coaches, like, okay, looking at these guys you have on this defensive roster, how did you justify not drafting a single secondary player? I mean, because, yes, I got all these names of guys you're bringing in. Let's go through their resumes. Which one of them is a former Pro Bowl or All-Pro? None.
Zero.
Which one of them, at least like last year, we could say, well, at least this guy was a former third pick
overall. Yeah, in Okuda.
Not this guy. This guy made a big play in a playoff game.
No.
5 years ago. No, he didn't.
No.
Which one of these guys? Yep, this is the guy. Yeah, man. I look at his resume. His resume speaks for itself. I'm looking at it. It's pretty empty.
Yeah.
It's pretty empty.
Yeah, the resume is pretty light there. Pretty light in the Falcons cornerback room, again, besides A.J. Terrell. Like, I don't know how we could – and again, I'm happy the Falcons addressed defensive line and got the depth that they did. But, Eric, to your point, I just don't know how they went about the whole entire draft without at least getting somebody. And I know they went, you know, in the undrafted free agent pool and got two corners out of the undrafted free agent pool.
But so, they did that when defensive secondary was a strength of this draft, especially in
the second and third round. The Eagles got the Eagles were able to trade back and wait on Cooper DeJean, who could have been the best one. Exactly. Like, you could argue he was at least maybe not first round, but late second or early second round, mid second round talent.
Pre-injury or post or injury? Pre-injury, he was.
Post-injury. Pre-injury, he's a first round pick. I mean, and the fact that the Eagles could wait until what they were pick 22, I believe. The fact they could wait on Terrion Arnold, and it felt. I mean, and I understand like there were talks the Falcons were trying to trade up in the draft, and there were even talks that. When the Falcons were trying to trade up in the draft, when they were trying to chain up to the teens, that was for a guy like Leatu Latu. But when they couldn't get to the teens, they were still trying to trade up into the, you know, early to late 20s, and that was to get maybe a defensive back. So I respect that those if those stories are true, which
that means they acknowledged the need was there.
They acknowledged the need was there, which you could even say maybe it's even worse because they knew they had the need, and they still didn't get anybody. Like if you couldn't get a guy in the first round. You still had two third-round picks. You couldn't use one of those there? So, there's no way you can sit right here as a Falcons fan today and say the cornerback spot isn't the weakest spot in the Falcons roster. There's no way. Because, again, at least I get a lot of the defensive line is unproven, but there's potential there. Not a lot of potential there for the Falcons cornerbacks. All right, when we come back, 5 minutes from now on the Hometown Take. Let's update you on the Braves. This game's actually going by pretty fast. We'll give you a full update there. And also, as far as the Braves go, when is the offense going to turn around? Are we seeing it now? We'll talk about it in 5 here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Saturday evening on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Saturday. Hanging out with you until 6:30, taking you all the way up until Atlanta United pregame coverage. The Five Stripes taking on DC United. Looking to snap a what I believe has been a 5-match winless streak for Atlanta United. Goodness, they got to get back on it. And they hopefully, and look, I'm not super confident because all due respect to Charlotte Independence, not a MLS team and not DC United. But I will say this, Atlanta United has done very well against DC United in their series history. I believe Atlanta United, and I have the stat here. I'll find it for you in just a second. I believe they've won 5 out of the last 6, if I am not mistaken. I got to find it here. 5, I think it's 5 out of the last 6. Here we go. Atlanta United, it has been, hold please. Yeah, so Atlanta United, winless in their last 5 MLS matches and owns the all-time MLS series 9-6-1, and won 5 of the last 6 previous meetings against DC United. So there you have it. But on the other side of that coin, they played to a 1-1 draw in their last meeting. That was last year, and that match was in DC, though. So Atlanta United, we know how well they play at home usually. So hopefully they can bounce back tonight and continue their good play against DC United, and they can snap that again. 5 winless match streak across their last 5 MLS matches. So we'll see what happens, and hopefully the goals can be a flowing, or hopefully Yorgos Yakimakis can give us some goals. Maybe Thiago Almada, whoever. We just need this offense to get going, much like we needed the Braves offense to get going. And it looks like they're starting to come around here. Orlando Arcia, 2-run home run to start the scoring off for the Braves this afternoon against the Mets. That gave them a 2-0 lead, and then Money Mike getting back at it. He's 2-for-2 on the day, and he had an RBI single to make it 3-0, and it's 3-0 now. I believe we're heading to the top of the 7th inning out there in Gotham. But interesting stat about Michael Harris. So he had the leadoff single in the third inning before Orlando Arcia hit that two-run home run. So before that leadoff single, Michael Harris II was hitless in his last 29 at-bats. So that
was it happens.
There's slumps. There's peaks and valleys over a long 162-game MLB season. There's going to be peaks and valleys for everybody. So we saw, obviously, a dip from Michael Harris. We're still kind of seeing one from Matt Olson. Even though he did, hopefully, he's on the come-up, too. He did get a home run last night in the Braves' win over the Mets. So hopefully he's on the rise, too. We saw Ronnie get a home run last night.
He's struggling today.
He is struggling a little bit today. But, again, hopefully they're starting to turn it around, though. Hopefully the home run from Acuna, the home run from Matt Olson, Michael Harris being 2-for-2 today. Hopefully that's at least a sign that those guys are starting to turn around, that we're starting to see them go to the peak coming out of the valley. So hopefully this offense is starting to turn around. Again, the offense definitely has been struggling, but you do have to give some credit to what the Braves just went through. They faced three straight division leaders going all the way back to when they were playing the Guardians at home to close out their last homestand, besides the Red Sox, the quick two-game Red Sox homestand. But they played against a Guardians team that was leading the AL Central. Then they faced a Seattle Mariners team who I have to double-check. I think they're still leading in the AL West. I have to double-check it, but they were at the time leading in the AL West. And then they faced the Dodgers, who of course are leading in the NL West right now. The Mariners have a extremely deep pitching staff. They weren't scoring a lot of runs either because their offense isn't that great. And that's why you saw a lot of 1-2, 3-2 games in that Braves and Mariners series. But the Braves faced some really good pitching against the Mariners. They had to face Tyler Glass now out there in L.A. The Guardian staff wasn't bad, even though they won that series. The Guardian staff wasn't bad either. So they really faced some good pitching as well, too. And I think you do have to give some credit there. That those pitchers, they just did what they had to do against the Braves, and they were able to find a way to shut them down. But you know you aren't going to hold the Braves' offense down for long. It was only a matter of time until they broke out last night. Hopefully they can continue to score some more runs as the final few innings of this Mets game today go down right now. And again, they're in the top of the 7th, 3-0. The Braves are up right now. Little D at the plate for the Bravos, but
finish your thought, and I got a question for you.
So I was just going to say that, again, I think we're starting to see a come up after, again, facing some really good pitching staffs, facing some really good teams overall. You go home, get some home cooking against the Red Sox. Offense starts to come around a little bit. Marcelo Zuna continues to carry. And then you get to New York against a division rival who has, you know, they've been struggling. They were at 500 coming into this series. Obviously, they're a game under 500 now after the Braves beat them yesterday. But now they're starting to come around a little bit, seeing some different faces a little bit, you know, not as quality pitchers. They are facing a rookie pitcher today in Christian Scott. So that's obviously helped them out a little bit. So, again, it's just the Braves, they face some really good pitching over the last few games. And now not facing quite as quality pitching, getting some easier opponents. They're doing what they're supposed to do. So sometimes my overall point is sometimes you got to tip your hat to the other team, tip your hat to the other pitching staffs. And I think that's more so what happened rather than the Braves offense just necessarily struggling. I think the pitchers they were facing just did a good job. And sometimes it is what it is. So, Eric, what was your thought, brother?
Well, I wanted to ask you, are you superstitious at all?
Yes, a little bit, not overly, but yes, there I am definitely superstitious. Like, I will say this. If I am and I only do this when the Braves are in the playoffs, but when the Braves are in the playoffs, I am notorious for doing this.
What do you do?
Let's say I'm sitting in a certain position, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Braves are doing well. And Michael Harris, by the way, just got another hit. But let's say the Braves are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
I will, even if, like, you know how after a while sitting in a certain position, you get uncomfortable, you need to change positions.
Right.
I will fight through the pain. And I will stay in the, and I say pain, like it's
the left buttocks fell asleep on you.
Yeah, yeah. Or like if I have one foot over the other and like the top of the shin, yeah, like starts to hurt or whatever. Like I'll be like, nope, I can't move positions. The Braves are doing well. I can't move. I got to stay like this.
Okay.
So like I get superstitious at that point. Or vice versa. If the Braves, if I'm in a certain position, the Braves start doing bad. I'm like, nope, I got to move. I got to change it up. I got to do something else. So the Braves don't struggle. So yes, I am super superstitious, but I'm like a picky superstitious person, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not always superstitious, but I pick and choose my times when I am.
All right, so you know athletes are some of the most superstitious people in the world.
Oh, for sure.
So you know what's going on in the Braves dugout right now, right?
Oh, they're trying to change up everything right now.
Not right now.
Oh, well, not. I guess not
now. I'm talking
about
right now, this very moment, at 5:49 on a Saturday afternoon up there at City Field.
Oh, they're probably like, yeah, we figured it out. Whatever we're doing right now, you got to stick with it.
No. What's going on right now in the Braves dugout is nobody, and I mean nobody, is talking to Max Fried.
Oh, yeah. He's cooking.
He's got a no-no going.
He's cooking.
And I hope I'm not jinxing him all the way down here in Atlanta. But, yeah, he's got a no-no through six.
You might have just gave him the broadcaster's jinx, bro.
I hope not. Well, we're not broadcasting.
I hope not. No,
we're not
broadcasting. Hold on. I'm knocking on what this table is made out of.
The only way you can get the broadcaster's jinx is if you say it as the broadcaster of the game.
That's true.
You know.
That's true.
We are not broadcasting the game.
We're not.
Watching it.
He's
got a no-no through six. So
all right.
That means nobody. They're not offering him water. They're not giving him a towel. Don't say a single word to that man.
But do you think Snit is actually going to let him stay in this time? Because remember,
you better don't go there.
I got to, though.
Don't go there, yeah.
But Eric, I have to.
He had one in Seattle, right?
It was either Seattle or Cleveland.
It was Seattle.
Yeah, so we have to because he took him out. And look, I get why he took him out. He was at, 100 pitches, I think?
He's mowing him down today.
Oh,
he's
no, for sure. And look, and by that time, I think he had only gone six, I believe. It was six
that's
or five.
Where he's at right now.
Yeah, so he's – because they're going to the bottom of the seventh now. So
No, they're in the top. They're switching pitchers. So the
rookie, that's right.
We got two on, no out, pulling the rookie out. And, you know, then this is the deal. If they extend this inning and he has to sit there – for 15-20, that might
do it.
Go into Snick's decision making, but for right now, you would hope they'd run that man back out there. You would hope the way that curveball is dealing,
they can't do nothing with it. It's curving and dropping.
So,
but like I said, I mean, I hope Snick keeps him out there. But if he pulls him, you can't be mad because again, you don't. The last thing the Braves want to do is sacrifice Max Fried and his health for a no-hitter. Now, look, no-hitters don't come.
Thank you. They don't come every day. They don't come every start.
They don't come every year. It's history for sure. But the Braves also want to make some other history this year as well. And to do that, they need Max Fried, especially since Spencer ain't coming back.
If he is, and I don't know what his pitch count is, but if he's well under 100 – And if you get a few more insurance runs here, now as they have runners in scoring position,
yep.
you send him back out there. You got a team in the Mets that's struggling. Don't put up a lot of offensive firepower.
Not at all.
They're not a team that you're worried about going out there and make a 5-1 rally. And this man's got a no-no going. Don't do that to him again. Do not dare do that to him again. Let him go get it. Does Max Fried have a no-no in his career history?
I don't think he does.
I don't think he does.
So Max Fried, to answer your question right now, he's at 85 pitches, which isn't bad.
So I think
again, to your point, well, even if this inning does maybe go a little long, I still think 85, you send him back out there, okay. No matter what.
All right, we will keep monitoring as we go into the next hour.
We are officially monitoring the Max Fried no-no here on 92.9 The Game. So we'll keep you up to date on that as well. But the Braves are trying to give Max Fried a little bit more insurance right now. So we'll see if they can do that as well, because that'll be good. Because, look, they get him two more runs, then you're like, well, 5-0, why not? So we'll see what happens here. But, again, back to the Braves' offense overall, I think they're starting to come out of it. And, look, this is the perfect time to do it. They took advantage of going up against a Red Sox team that was okay, but you were supposed to take them down. They can hopefully continue to take advantage of a Mets team where they're all right, they're okay, they're mid, but you're supposed to take them down. And then that hopefully can propel them to next series, which they're taking on a Cubs team that is playing really well right now. It's been playing really well all season. They have a record similar to the Braves. I believe they're 23 and 16, excuse me. Cubs are 23-16 right now. So they're cooking
Dansby having a good year?
I have to look at Dansby's stats.
That's going to be a storyline.
Oh, you already know it is, for sure. He's not at the – he doesn't lead, as far as I can see right now, he doesn't lead the Cubs in any sort of huge categories. So I'll look up his stats specifically during the break, and I'll report back. But I don't think as far as Dansby goes. He's been doing anything outlandish this season. But, again, hopefully they can at least – there looks like, as of right now, knock on whatever his table's made out of, they're in position to at least take two out of three against the Mets. Hopefully they can sweep the Mets. You sweep the Mets, you're on a five-game winning streak. You're feeling good going into Chicago, taking on another team that's playing well right now. So,
feeling great.
So, with all that being said, it seems like hopefully the Braves offense going up against some, again, a little bit lesser of opponents, taking an advantage and capitalizing on that situation to get themselves out of the slump they've been in, and hopefully that can carry them against some good teams and they can be playing at their peak or close to their peak, taking on some good teams in the Cubs and the Padres over these next two series after this Mets series concludes tomorrow. All right. When we come back here on the Hometown Take, we have a NBA playoff update for you. We'll react to the games from last night and let you know how this Thunder and Mavericks game is going to close out as well. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Saturday evening, hanging out with you until Atlanta United pregame coverage starts. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Saturday evening, hanging out with you for another 30 minutes, taking you all the way up until Atlanta United pregame coverage. The Five Stripes taking on DC United, looking to snap their five-match winless streak across MLS play, including three matches at home as well. So they've been struggling at home, which Atlanta United usually is a very, very good home team. So hopefully they can break out, score a whole lot of goals. I'm hoping for a 5-0 win for Atlanta United against DC United tonight. That's what they need right about now. And I know the fans would not be against that either. But Mike Conte, Jason Longshore, going to have the call for you around 7 o'clock. Actually, around, 7:30. Maybe a little after 7:30. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman going to have pregame coverage for you again starting at 6:30. So just a few minutes away. Speaking of a few minutes away, Grillin' Dylan only 19 minutes away. I have two questions for you. One, it comes to Grillin' Dylan, both pertaining to the Atlanta Falcons with rookie minicamp going on right now. Question number one, we talked about this at 5:20. Which Falcons position group is the strongest? Which Falcons position group is the weakest right now? What is the Falcons' strongest attribute, for lack of a better term? And what's the Falcons' weakest link right now? 404-726-0929 is the number. Phone lines will be open for Grillin' Dylan in 18 minutes. Before we get there, though, we are on Max Fried no-no watch. Has a no-hitter through 6 1/3 innings right now. As it is the bottom of the seventh, he's trying to get through another inning against the New York Mets, and trying to keep his no-hit bid alive. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Braves are up on the Mets right now, 3-0. And I do want to backtrack a little bit here on this Braves game, because the Braves had the bases loaded last inning with one out. Ronald Acuña Jr. up at the plate. A very favorable situation for the Atlanta Braves. And at first, Eric and I were in a little bit of an outrage here, because we were like, how does Ronald Acuña Jr. All right, let me tell you what happened first. So first, bases loaded, one out, Ronald Acuña Jr. at the plate. I told you that. He hits an absolute liner, an absolute missile, a laser to the second baseman. And it came on him so fast. Of course, he doesn't field it cleanly. He stops it. It lands in front of him. He stumbles a little bit. Has to get to the ball, flips it over to second for the one out, and he gets Ronald Acuña Jr. at first for the double play, the inning-ending double play. So at first thought, Eric and I are like, bro, what the heck? How does Ronald Acuña Jr. not run that out? Like, was he just jogging out of the box? What happened? Well, they showed the replay, and E, I'll let you give your take on this in a sec. They showed the replay. And for whatever reason, I'm not sure why. I don't know if Ronald was stunned about how hard he hit it and how Nimmo stopped it, but he, like, stuttered out of the box. He just kind of – it's not like he wasn't not hustling, but he just, like – it's almost like he was stunned himself about what had just transpired. So he then gets on his horse, starts taking off,
and starts hustling down the line, and obviously he doesn't make it. But after seeing his initial reaction out of the box, I'm not as – and I'm not like, boo this man. I'm not upset like that. But I was just wondering, like, what happened? And why was he not able to leg that out? After seeing that angle of him and how he kind of reacted to the ball that he hit, I can't be – I'm not really not that upset now. Now, again, you can make the argument, Eve, that he should have just booked it on contact, but I get why he had that reaction now.
Now, see, you are less upset. I'm more upset.
You're more upset?
I'm more upset. Talk to a man who played baseball all his life, played in college, now is a decently high-level umpire.
Mm-hmm.
The ball comes off the bat. You do not watch.
That's true.
You do not spectate.
That's fair.
Ball comes off the bat. Until you hear umpire yell out or foul, you book. Now, I know these guys are professionals, multimillionaires. Doesn't matter. For a guy who has had issues with this very thing throughout his career, with the bases loaded,
uh-huh,
and you're trying to break a game open, ball comes off your bat, you haul.
Right. Especially, you know, in that situation, too. But, again, and what you said is just 100%, 1,000%, 1,000,000% fair. I will say this. Sometimes, and I feel like a lot of times, players, when they hit the ball, especially when they hit the ball like that, they kind of judge where the ball went to. You know, I don't know exactly how to.
What is there to judge? The base is loaded with one out.
If maybe, I don't know if he was trying to see exactly where it went. Again, I don't know for sure what his thought was, but the point is, in my opinion, is that he had, in my opinion, too slow of a reaction to, like, okay, I see if you're like, oh, snap, I just hit a liner. But his reaction, again, was still just too slow for me. I get why he kind of looked and was like, oh, okay, that's what happened. But then after that, you should take off.
And since I had to watch, I get doubled off at first instead of getting an RBI.
And that's fair. That's now, completely fair.
I'll tell you what, though. If Max Fried pulls out, then the one thing Acuna, I'll tip my hat to him for,
mm-hmm,
and I don't know if you just saw, Money Mike just make a heck of a catch into the field. Acuna's been using his glove today. If Max Fried pulls this out, he's got to go to his outfielders because they've really had his back today. Acuna has made a few plays in right field because the curveball is just buckling these Mets players, and they're not getting good wood on them, and they're hitting a lot of things opposite field. And Acuna's made a few catches out there, and Money Mike just ran one down.
Yeah, Money Mike just made a nice catch, to your point, kind of over the head, over the shoulder catch, and hopefully that can help Max Fried get out of this inning. Two outs now. It is the bottom of the seventh inning. Max Fried, again, we are on no watch for Max Fried, but Braves up 3-0 right now. We'll keep you up to date. As far as the NBA playoffs go, the first game of today's doubleheader just wrapped up, and the Mavericks have taken a 2-1 lead in the series after a rough and tough battle against the Oklahoma City Thunder. This was a very physical game throughout the entirety of the game between the Mavericks and Thunder. And look.
Young Bucks might not be ready.
They might not be ready. And I was on a podcast yesterday. Shout out to the Players Den. I was on a podcast yesterday, and I was saying this very thing. I was like, you know, OKC up until this point has impressed me. But let's be honest. They didn't get to cruise against the Pelicans. The Pelicans gave them a tough-ish kind of series. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they swept them. The Mavericks, they have now come out. After you got game one, and you got game one pretty handedly, they came back, hit you in the mouth in game two. Now in game three, a rough and tough game where things got physical. They challenged you. You were at home you were on the road after they took home field advantage away from you. They bounced back, the Mavericks did, and really showed their playoff experience and showed their grit, showed some toughness today, and they got the win. So I said this on the early morning edition of the Hometown Take, which, by the way, if you like what you're hearing thus far, you can hear me every morning, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's the regularly scheduled edition of the Hometown Take. I'm on every day, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., Monday through Friday. So if you like what you hear, you can always tune in then. Or, like I said earlier, get that free Odyssey app and you can listen to me wherever, whenever. But the Mavericks showed their experience today. They got tough. Once they took over home court advantage and said, we ain't giving it back, especially not right now, they got themselves a win. So I was wondering when maybe a little OKC inexperience was going to show itself, and I think it showed itself a little bit today. But hats off to the Mavericks. I was, and again, back to my point, I was on record saying this. Whoever came out of that Clippers-Mavericks series, I said, it's going to make it to the Western Conference Finals. And I'm still standing on that. I was a little bit shaky. I thought, oh, OKC might prove me wrong after game one, but I'm definitely standing on that. And even after game one, I was still standing on that. I was just a little surprised by OKC's performance. But I figured the Mavericks were going to bounce back. And not only did they flip the home court advantage and get game two in OKC, but they now have gotten game three. That's two in a row. And they'll have a chance on, I believe the next time they'll play is Monday. They have a chance on Monday to make it a commanding 3-1 series lead. So we will see if they can get the job done there. Celtics, Cavaliers, they go at it in about 2 hours and 20 minutes, 8:30 tip-off for Celtics and Cavaliers. The Cavaliers, they capitalized on Boston's bad shooting, and we all know NBA fans all around have been saying it. The Celtics, they're going to at least give you one a lot of times in a series because there's at least one game where the Celtics always seem like they just shoot absolutely horrible. That's what happened on Thursday night. The Celtics, I believe, shot 22% it was from three, 22.9% from three. They were 8 of 35 from beyond the arc, just absolutely putrid. But the reason why I still have the Celtics, the reason probably why you, if you are an NBA watcher, still have the Celtics is you just feel like they're not going to have another game where that happens. Or even if they do, they can find a way maybe to work through it. And you just don't feel like the Cavs are going to outplay the Celtics enough to be able to get themselves a series win. Because while the – look, all the hats off to the Cavaliers. They played very well. Donovan Mitchell is playing like a man possessed right now. All the starters played well for the Cavs in game two. But if we're being honest, the Celtics lost game two. I don't know if the Cavaliers necessarily won it. I think it's more so the Celtics lost game two. I don't know if the Cavaliers can win three more games against the Celtics. Maybe Boston gives them another one if they shoot bad from the three-point land again, because Boston is absolutely live or die by the three. Maybe Boston can give you another game because of bad three-point shooting, but I don't know if the Celtics can win two more games, even if the Celtics do give you another game with their bad shooting. I just don't see that happening with how talented the Celtics are. So we'll see what happens there, and that'll be fun. Tomorrow, real quick, the Pacers and Knicks get back at it, and the Nuggets and Timberwolves at it again. I was wondering when the Nuggets were going to bounce back. I was really wondering when the Nuggets were going to bounce back, because I just thought, I was like, man. Oh, and real quick update here. Think Max Fried is done. He's getting all the handshakes. He's getting all the dap. It looks like Max Fried is officially done. And he still had the no-no going too, I believe. He only walked a batter last inning. So it doesn't look like he's going to be able to do it, even though he would only have to go. Oh, no, you have to go two more innings. So it looks like they're going to hand it off to the bullpen. And look, I can't be mad. He did walk another person. I don't want to necessarily say he labored E, but again, he walked another batter. And I just think they're like, you know what? We're going to play on the side of caution again. Again, this is about the long game for the Braves. Not again. If they had Spencer Strider, I think it would be a different story. Again, I think it would have been a different story against Seattle, and I think it would maybe be a different story to this evening. But with no Spencer Strider, just like, we don't want to do too much. Let me check his pitch count real quick. And I know we do have a caller on the line. Hang tight. I'm going to be able to, just because we're running short on time here, I'll get you on for Grillin' Dylan So hang tight for me, and we're going to get you on here. But real quick to finish up the point about Max Fried, his pitch count now is at, as I am looking it up here, he is at 109 pitches right now. Yeah, you got to.
No, you don't.
Yes, you.
No, you don't.
E.
No, you don't.
E.
No, you don't.
E.
No, you don't.
With two more innings to go and he's already at 109. Come on, man. We're playing the long game. It's May.
What if he goes out there and has a 10-pitch eighth inning?
I mean, you could.
No, those are.
You could.
They don't happen every day.
I get it.
Against the Mets.
But
against the Mets. He ain't playing.
They're trying to win a World Series, man. Okay. On the other side of your coin. Sure, maybe he goes out there and throws a 10-pitch inning. What if he goes out there, tries to throw three more pitches, and he throws out his shoulder because he's going for a no-no. Again, I know, I get you can't play scared, and I get no-nos don't happen, but again, this is bigger than Max Fried. The Braves are trying to win a World Series, and Max Fried will tell you himself, he'd rather have a World Series this year than a no-no. That's just what it is. You don't have Spencer Strider. You got to keep your other ace. You can't afford to lose your other ace too, period. And already at 109 to have to go two more innings. And at this point, if you know he's not going to be able to go the ninth inning, then you don't send him out there for the eighth either. That's just what it is. So I can't even be mad at Snit. At 109 pitches, I can't be mad at Snit. We're going for a World Series. It's bigger than a no-no. Max Fried understands. I understand. Hopefully you and your car, you understand as well. Or if you're listening on the Odyssey app, wherever you're at. All right, when we get back, you know what time it is. 404-726-0929. Grillin' Dylan, we can talk about whatever you like. Yeah. We can talk about the Max Fried no-no. Should he be able to stay out there? Should Snit be sending him out there for the bottom of the eighth, even though Joe Jimenez is coming out now? Should Snit have kept Max Fried in the game? Let me know. What is the Falcons' strongest position group right now? What's their weakest position group? And also, one more question for you. Which Falcons rookie, and it's not Michael Penix, which Falcons rookie has the most pressure on them this season? Which Falcons rookie has the most pressure on them to perform in year one? And I don't think it's who you probably think it is. Grillin' Dylan is next, 404-726-0929. We can talk about whatever on the other side, right here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. 404-726-0929 if you want to get in the game. 404-726-0929. It is that time. We can talk about whatever you like. Yeah. Grillin' Dylan. Whatever you want to talk about. I do have three questions for you, but all questions of any variety, of any topic, are welcomed. My three questions that I have for you, though. Max Fried, at 109 pitches, had a no-hitter through seven innings. Brian Snicker decides to not send him out for the eighth inning. Right or wrong? Should Max Fried be out there right now in the bottom of the eighth inning against the Mets instead of Joe Jimenez? Or did Brian Snicker make the right decision? That is question number one. Question number two, which Falcons rookie has the most pressure on him to perform in year one? And obviously Michael Penix. I mean, if you think Michael Penix is going to play in year one, I mean, we can talk about that as well too, but I don't think Michael Penix is in this conversation. But which Falcons rookie has the most pressure on him to perform in year one? I honestly don't think it's Braylon Trice. I know a lot of people will say Braylon Trice, but I actually think it's Rook Arororo. You traded up to get him, the Falcons did. I don't think they needed to do that. Rook Arororo now has the pressure on him to show why the Falcons needed to trade up for him. And question number three, again, another Falcons question. The strongest position group for the Falcons right now, in their weakest league, the weakest position group for the Falcons right now. Those are my three questions. Should Max Fried have been taken out, or should he have been allowed to stay in to try and complete his no-hitter? Which Falcons rookie has the most pressure on him in year one, and the strongest and weakest position groups of the Falcons right now as well? 404-726-0929. Shout out to my guy, Doug. He held on through the break. He wants to talk some Falcons. Let's see what my guy Doug from Jefferson has to say. Doug, what's on your mind, brother, man? Appreciate you calling in.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
What's going on,
hey,
Dougie?
First thing, I would have taken Freed out because he's got a history of getting oblique injuries and stuff like that after long going. So
I'm with you on that
long game on that. As far as who has the, you know, the most pressure, the Falcons, I don't know that any of them really do.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Aurora, but, you know, you didn't have a first-round pick that you put that's going to be on the field.
Yeah, you're right.
That, and as far as the third question, you know, I think the running backs are pretty strong group, and the linebackers are going to be strong as well.
You're right.
When you get Anderson back. But the corner, the secondary, especially the cornerbacks, I think that's going to be your weakest link.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Doug, I appreciate the phone call, man. That's great stuff. I agree with everything Doug said. Everything. You're at 109 pitches. Again, as Doug said and as I said, with a guy who has a history of getting injured, he's had bugs before. He's had, you know, soft muscle or soft tissue, I guess, and injuries before. You just can't risk it. Without already having Spencer Strider, you cannot afford to have Max Free gone for really any amount of time, and especially, knock on whatever this table is made out of, an extended period of time. You just can't afford that without Spencer Strider right now. So I am all for that. And with the Falcons, he said no, none of the rookies. I think there'll be a little pressure on Aurora. I think people understand. I think Falcons fans understand too that even though the Falcons did trade up for him, he used a second round pick on him. I think they know defensive line wise, you got Grady, you have David Onyemata, you have Taquan Graham, you have Zach Harrison. So there are some guys that, you know, it's not like he has to come in and perform right away. I think they're gonna want him to be a rotational piece right away, and hopefully want him to make an impact for sure. But I don't think there's a whole lot of pressure. But I do think if there's pressure on any of them, I think it's more so Aurora, just because he was your second round pick. You did trade up for him. And Braylon Trice, even though he's going to be at the most important position as far as pass rush, and you want him to ball out sooner rather than later, I don't think there's necessarily pressure because he was, at the end of the day, a third round pick. But I do think Trice has the most upside for sure. So thank you, Doug. Appreciate that phone call. Let's head back out to the phones. 404-726-0929. Let's head to Gray, Georgia, and let's hear from Jim. Jim, what's going on, man? What's on your mind, brother?
Oh, it's actually Keith, not Jim.
That's okay. I'm sorry. Team, what's on your mind, brother, man? Appreciate you calling up.
Yeah, kind of like Keith Urban.
Yeah, Keith. Gotcha.
Yep. So I think that I think you should let him pitch a no hitter, the Braves pitcher. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way I feel about it.
I understand that for sure. I mean, look, no hitters definitely don't happen every day. But again, I'm acting a little scary right now. I'm not gonna lie, Keith. I can't afford anything to happen to Max Fried. And look, I know you can't play scared, but without Spencer Strider, that's just a tough proposition for me when he's already at 109. But what else were you going to say?
I got a small request from you, sir.
Yes, sir.
On Monday through Friday, could you please do me a favor and give a shout-out to my fellow Transpo Local 728 drivers in the film industry?
I sure will.
Can you do that for me?
I would love to. I'm going to add them to the list, Keith. You already know I got you. You know already. I'm always happy to take those requests, and I appreciate you giving it to me, Keith. So I appreciate you, brother.
I listen to you every day on my way to work.
Hey, man, I appreciate that. That's much love, Keith. And hey, man, you have a great rest of your weekend, and I appreciate the phone call, man. Appreciate you, Keith.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is my guy, Keith, calling from Gray, Georgia. 404-726-0929. Got time for one more. Let's head out to Lawrenceville, and let's talk to Chin. Chin, what's going on, man? How you feeling, bro?
Doing great. Love the show. I guess the thing that I want to talk about is let me answer your three questions. Number one, I think maybe not now to go for the no-hitter, but in another 2 months, if Max keeps dealing six-inning no-hit ball like he's been doing for the last couple of games,
yeah,
maybe we just take a risk on it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Number two, I know this is going to sound terrible, but I think it's Michael Penix. We didn't draft him because he's got so much talent. We didn't draft him because we figure we're going to definitely win. We drafted him because Mr. Blank is getting old. And if Kirk Cousins goes down, an older person can't afford wait till next season. This isn't like when he bought the team 20, 30 years ago. He's not a spring chicken. So if Kirk goes down, Michael Penix is going to be like, hey, man, you can't miss a beat.
Yeah, that's an interesting caveat. That's an interesting caveat. If Kirk Cousins does go down, then, yeah, I think he does take the reins as having the most pressure on him. That's a good point.
Yeah, and the third thing is, obviously, the quarterbacks, because I think it's a nice problem to have. The weakest, I think, is kicker because, like, while I think he's done a great job last couple of years, last couple of games he's kind of been sliding. He's had, like, little small things kind of injured him up.
Yeah.
The thing that I want to talk about is, how much do you think that Shohei Ohtani would not be in this trouble if he didn't get married? Because, like, him and his knuckleheaded translator were running this thing, whether it was either Shohei or him or both of them, who are terrible gamblers.
Right.
But then Shohei gets married, and his wife's like, let's go through the books. And, like, a month later, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, so, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like everybody talks about, is it Shohei? Is it his translator? It's like, no, man, you missed the point. Once you got married, just clean it up. Like a $17 million leak doesn't just kind of spring on you. You know, she's probably like, are you giving away $500,000 home to like poor charities?
Right.
Auction off? Because this.
Yeah,
how are you bleeding this much money?
I know, it's crazy. And Chin, I appreciate the phone call. We're running tight on time here. I only got a few seconds left. But, look, I definitely think they could be into it, you know. Like, he gets married, and she's like, oh, let's see the books. Yeah, and he's like, oh, books? He did it. Yeah, look, again, I don't know if that's what happened. The story, I mean, he admitted to it. His friend admitted to it. So, you know, it seems like they got it figured out. But that's definitely a conspiracy theory for sure. Hey, look, we got to get out of here. I appreciate you tuning into the Hometown Take this evening. Atlanta United pregame coverage coming up right now. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman holding it down on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.